Next, we have Eileen Weintraub, who's a lifelong animal advocate and rescuer. In 1998, she began supporting animal protection groups in India. During her trips to the country, Eileen discovered groups which, despite little financial support, were helping animals in extremely difficult conditions and against all odds. Deeply impressed by how these dedicated groups were making such a difference for the animals, Eileen was inspired to found Help Animals India, to advise groups like these and to facilitate the flow of support from donors worldwide.
Hello, friends of animals and the people who love them. We are all warriors in the most important cause of all, which is healing the world. Oppression of other species by one species will never lead to peace. For us at Help Animals India, it is our honor to know some great activists halfway across the world, where our dollars can go so much further. Some of these native Indian activists, sensitive to animal suffering, felt they had no choice but to start shelters for the animals who had nowhere else to go. How did all of these animal shelters start? Does anyone actually come to India to start an animal shelter? Well, actually, lots of people have. They have come from Australia, Italy, Denmark, Finland, the UK, and also the United States, giving up their lives in more comfortable surroundings in order to care and fight for the animals. We feel honored, even driven, to support these people whose goal it is to prevent the suffering of India's animals. I will be giving an overview of a few of the Help Animals India projects over the years. None of them could have been accomplished without the fabulous activists in India and Nepal. This is a map of the groups we give grants to, and our board members and myself have visited most of these places, some several times, and we have close relationships with all of them to this day. Here is a photo of the idyllic picture of a holy man and his relationship with animals. This depicts very much Hinduism and Jainism, and going back thousands of years, a tradition of vegetarianism and kindness to animals. It's not a new concept. This is the front gate of one of the animal sanctuaries one of our people here have visited, and it has Gandhi's famous saying. That's the Tamil script, and this shelter was started outside Ramana Maharaji's ashram. A Westerner from Chicago was visiting and found out they were going to kill the dogs the next day, not in line with the vision of the saint he was visiting. So he stayed and started an animal shelter, totally transforming the town in its approach to helping the animals. If you go to India, you might see a street puppy, or you might see a dog with mange. This is outside our Varanasi project. This is a dog I saw in Haridwar. I couldn't help him. I could just give him a deworming tablet. There's no other help to be given in many places. And, of course, the cats. All these photos are my own or from the groups we help. I'll talk about the cats in a little while. Wildlife rescue, these babies, monkeys, mother was killed at a construction site, so wildlife is at risk due to the booming human population worldwide. And horses are routinely abandoned to the street after they're no longer wanted. This was a beach horse, and after a lifetime of service, he was let go and taken in by an animal sanctuary. Donkeys also are beasts of burden. This is a sanctuary in South India that has a lot of rescued donkeys. And this leopard, his mother was shot, so he was taken in and later released. He had no toys, so someone in our party donated a shoe. That's that red object, so his first toy. All sorts of wildlife is rehabilitated at several sanctuaries. Owls, and these are the ring-necked parakeets. They're called parakeets. We think of them as parrots, and they're all over India. These babies were rescued, and of course they need hourly feeding, as any wildlife rehab knows, and so it's very demanding on the groups to help them. This is a sloth bear, yes, right in South India. And this is Clementine. She came from Holland 20 years ago to help the animals. So we can, the least we can do is help them with as we can from our more fortunate position. And these rescued cubs will have to have lifetime sanctuary. So that's outside her shelter in, it's called Puttupati, South India. Here's some before and after pictures. Before, after. This is what all the groups do on a daily basis. We can't always show it on social media. They're busy rescuing. And this pony was in Varanasi. So that's a, we call it a miracle project because there was no other shelter. And he's doing well outside the large animal rescue sanctuary now in Varanasi, also called Benares, a holy city in India. Camels also are abandoned or taken in for the meat trade. And, of course, Jessica covered the cows, so I won't spend too much time on that. This is a dog who is a graduate of the ABC, or Animal Birth Control Program. He's been spayed, neutered, or rabies vaccinated, and that's an ear notch, the same that we do for feral cats in this country to identify him. So how, why he had rabies? Rabies is a health risk worldwide. There's many groups working on it. This dog is at end-stage rabies. Well, we had a human who died of rabies also, very distressing. How are the dogs kept caught for the animal birth control program? This is one of the vets, Dr. Akshay, and this is the best way to catch a dog. The other dog looks like he wants to come too. And other dogs, friendly dogs, can be caught in an auto rickshaw or a bike ambulance. Whoops, another bike. Motorbike ambulance. Here's one with a fringe on top. And if we can afford to mobile vehicles for them, and this makes quite a statement going through the streets of Guwahati, Assam, with the rescue number on it. Everyone has a mobile phone now in India. The least they can do is call when they find an animal that needs rescue. Another vehicle from, this is from Ranchi, Varanasi, and this is Mumbai for large animals. So the dogs are spay-neutered under sterile conditions. The vets in India are not taught well in vet school, so there's many groups working to improve the standards to make sure the incision is small and sterile and the dog recovers quickly from the operation. This is our board chair, Jessica Ava, giving love to a very lucky dog, and that's a new project to give them collars so they can be seen at night. A lot of road-hit animals. This is in Sarnath last year. Yeah, okay. Sometimes in places away from the media's attention, the dogs are killed. There's no ABC project, or people are just fed up. They don't want the dogs chasing their children. So this does go on at times, and where especially where there's no animal birth control project, too many dogs. This is the universal message, and this is the Tibetan Volunteers for Animals group, mostly a vegan supporting group, but they do animal rescue. Anyone who loves animals just does animal rescue. It's just part of living in India. And they do animal birth control outside the monasteries, and also vegan education. Is dressed as a carrot, and these monks might not get the vegan message otherwise. So it's given in Tibetan. Supplies. India is getting more supplies through Amazon India, but generally a lot of things are not available, especially wildlife rehab, puppies, and kitten formula. So we send over packages as we can. And the vets are skilled at giving casts without x-rays, but they sure could use x-ray machines and better diagnostic tools, blood diagnostic. All the shelters are lacking in these better equipment. This is a calf in Varanasi under the love of Dr. Deepak. And this calf won't have to wander around on three legs anymore. He'll have sanctuary for life. Cats, cats are not known in India as pets. Most people just see them running around scared, yowling or fighting. They don't know that the cats purr, can sit on your lap. And then that's just getting known. And then when people are getting cats as pets, they don't have access to veterinarians who know how to do spay-neuter. So along with World Wildlife Vet Services, we've partnered and give training to the veterinarians. And I'm very happy to see a few women vets there. That's new. Traditionally, vets were only men. So they're learning cat spay and neuter and a more advanced cat care. It's simply not, hasn't been known. So it's very sad people rescue a cat. They can't even get it fixed. And the cats, these cats were captured by the gypsies, mostly in South India, for meat. Could be boiled alive. It's illegal. And one of the groups we support does go and work with the police to rescue these cats from the gypsies. They just rescued two kittens last week. After their rescue, there's no adoption, so we have to raise funds in order to keep them for life. They don't want to go back on the street and get caught again. So this is a smiling elephant in the wild, the best situation. However, there's about 3,500 to 4,000 elephants in captivity in India. And we're trying to raise funds for just five of them who have been rescued. This is Lakshmi's foot, and she was standing on concrete her whole life, so she needed special boots. And these are the boots. An elephant expert from the U.S. came over and designed those. And this is her today, so she's doing much better. This is a Frigal, which is a freed beagle, and I don't know if you're aware of the lab beagles. So they have it in India too. It's not well known. And so we get out the beagles as we can. They make very good pets once they're rescued. So this is our billboard project in the streets of Ranchi. So it's just telling people to respect the community dogs, how you can help them, and just give more information to the person on the street, which really doesn't know much about them. And we have links on our website also about community dogs. Disaster relief. The first disaster I helped with was the Indian tsunami in 2004. Every year there's cyclones, floods. This is drought just this past year. And so giving extra food to the cows. There's no fodder available. There's no grazing land. And also earthquake. That's how we got involved in Nepal. It was the 2015 Nepal earthquake. 8,000 people died. So we did get some money to donate to rescue the animals as well. And this is a current disaster. I've probably helped with about 10 disasters so far. This is in the state of Northeast India, Assam. So the government is helping the people, but who's helping the animals? So we were able to send over a grant in partnership with A Well-Fed World. This is the water bowl project. Traditionally, people in India would leave out water for people passing by and also animals. So we funded these water bowls, but there's great people all over India, especially young people, that are learning about leaving water out. For the animals, wherever you live, you can leave water out. For animals, wildlife, birds, in the wintertime, you can put in a defreezing device. And this is the Sarnath Project. So happy puppies and happy children, when they're not overrun with dogs and not throwing stones at dogs, they can appreciate the dogs they have, and they know that they're healthy and they don't have to worry about rabies. So this town of Sarnath was transformed with our animal birth control programs. Many people in India love their animals, so what we can do to support that is we can. And I'll just leave you here with this photo I took of magical India, and this was in the streets of Chennai. So we can just love ever, hurt never. And India just breaks your heart with its beauty and mystery and suffering, and just keeps you wanting to go back and help as you can. So please, if you haven't already, come by our booth. It's right next to Farm, Help Animals India, and pick up our literature. And thank you for all you do, everyone.
Thank you, Eileen. Next up, we have Jessica Ava, who's the Farm International Programs Director, where she's responsible for expanding Farm's efforts into India and China by building local group capacity and introducing modern vegan advocacy campaigns. Jessica has analyzed industrial dairy emergence into Southeast Asia, assisted in building the campaign that terminated plans for India's first CAFO, has managed a street dog rescue NGO, and provides philanthropic support to enable effective giving towards Asian sanctuaries and street animal rescues.
Hello? All right. Hi, everyone. Okay, thank you for coming. I'm surprised to see this many people. I was expecting like 20 people, so this is really nice. So when I was told I was going to be giving this talk, I was told to just talk about the animal agriculture issue in India, and I didn't know what to talk about. I was thinking about talking about public policy or corporate policy, and I thought that might be kind of boring for people, so I decided to talk about cows. Because I imagine as vegans we all appreciate cows. So the title of my talk is Holy Cows in the Global Vegan Movement. And so I'm going to be describing how the sacred status of cows has led India to be a dominant player in global animal agriculture. And this is a very complex topic, and I'm just I'm able to talk about a very small fragment of it. That's better. So I hope you do learn something new and enjoy my talk. All right, so the first question is, so why should we as American activists even care about India? I mean, we have enough going on. So there are a few reasons. The first reason is because India is it's the global leader in dairy production. So 20% of all dairy comes from India. India is also a global leader in beef production and leather production, and it also has the fastest growing poultry market in the entire world. And another reason is because India is beginning to eat a lot of meat. So if you just want to look at the graph on the top left here and look at the yellow line. So this yellow line represents chicken consumption, and this is between the years of 2004 and 2012, but it's pretty much the same into current times. So we can see in just under a decade, chicken consumption has nearly tripled. So it's growing extremely rapid. And also, India has a lot of people, and the population is continuing to rise, so that's a lot of people that have a lot of consumer power when making the decision to purchase meat or to purchase lentils. And another reason why we should care is because corporate animal agriculture is really beginning to take an interest in the country. All right, so moving on a bit. So it's kind of this common knowledge that the cow is considered sacred in Hindu culture. So because of that, a lot of people find it counterintuitive that India is a global leader in beef production and beef exports. So how did this happen, really? So cows cannot be legally killed in most of India. They can't be slaughtered. There are a couple of regions where they can be slaughtered, but throughout most of the country, they cannot legally be slaughtered. So the beef and leather industries, they claim that their products are coming from water buffaloes. And a lot of their products do come from water buffaloes, but the truth is that the numbers just don't add up. So what I'm gonna describe to you is how, ironically, it's actually the sacred status of cows that has led India to be such a leader in dairy and beef industries. Okay, so cows are considered the mother god in Hindu culture, and milk is considered a gift from God. So a lot of families will keep a cow, for religious reasons and also to drink her milk. And cows are also kept on dairy farms, and they're smaller than American factory farms, maybe like 10, 20, 30 cows. But this is where cows are typically kept in the country. But the dairy cows in India are the same in the U.S. that in order for them to make milk, they need to have a baby, right? So it's the same story. They're repeatedly re-impregnated, and the male calves, they aren't needed. So the male calves, they might be sent to slaughter, which I'll talk about in a second. And they might be used for labor or a few other reasons. But sometimes and often what happens is they are just kind of abandoned to the street, left to fend for themselves. And similarly with the cows, too, once they stop producing enough milk or they become sick or injured, they're also commonly just kind of left to fend for themselves on the street. So now we have these cows, they're kind of wandering stray on the street. So what becomes of them? So some of them might live the rest of their lives on the street just trying to get by. But then there are a couple of other things that might happen to them. So they might be sent to what is called a gashala, and a gashala is a religious cow sanctuary. And some gashalas are okay, the cows do fine there. Some gashalas are horrific, so there are no standards there. And also the cows, they're often exploited while they're there, so they're still milked if they can be. And they're also exploited for their urine, because their urine is said to have medicinal properties. Some cows might be sent to a farm sanctuary, and there are a few farm sanctuaries in India. It's kind of a novel concept, but they are starting to show up throughout the country, so that's a good thing. And the farm sanctuaries there are similar here, that the animals are safe, they're not exploited, what have you. But unfortunately, what happens to a lot of cows is that they will find themselves in the slaughterhouse. So what happens is that, and also this is, I'm kind of just briefly talking about one part of it. I'm kind of generalizing here. So there's a lot of things that happen in addition to this, but this is just kind of one part of the story. But what does often happen is that maybe the owner of the cow might go ahead and sell the cow to the market, and she'll end up in the slaughterhouse, or he might go ahead and sell her directly to the slaughterhouse. But also what happens is that a group of people will come in, and they'll gather all of the stray cows on the street. And this is often done kind of secretly, sometimes in the middle of the night, because sometimes it's illegal, it's often frowned upon. And so these people, they'll come in, they'll collect all of the stray cows, and they will send these cows to the slaughterhouse, where they might sell them at the market, where they will eventually end up in the slaughterhouse. And so these cows, they might end up in a legal slaughterhouse, but often what happens is that they will end up in an illegal slaughterhouse. And there are far more illegal slaughterhouses than legal slaughterhouses in the country. And then the slaughterhouse will then sell their meat and their skin, claiming that it's from a buffalo. So this is where we see that the industry is saying that the products are coming from buffaloes, when in fact, they're often coming from cows. And these are cows who just, like a couple of weeks prior, were considered like a sacred being, right? So we can see how it's kind of gone full circle, that we have these cows have this sacred status, which has led for them to be mass bred, and then that in turn has led to a very large dairy industry, and then subsequently a very large beef and leather industry. And then that has led India to be kind of a very dominant player in the world's animal agriculture. All right, I don't have time to go through that one. All right, so now I'm going to move on to the changing dietary habits in India. So India remains a predominantly vegetarian society, and it kind of has this stereotype of being, you know, a land full of vegetarians, and it is still mostly vegetarians, but it's starting to eat a lot more meat. People are starting to eat a lot more meat there. Again, here's the graph on the top left, so you can see it's mainly chicken consumption, and it's just rapidly rising. And so why is this happening? So one reason is because of the middle class revolution. And you see this not only in India, but in a lot of developing countries as well. So the middle class revolution, we have people who might come from a more poor background. They suddenly have found themselves with a decent job. They're in the middle class. They have more expendable income. And meat still has this kind of social status quality to it, kind of this elitist quality to it. So even, like, say, a generation before, if your family didn't eat meat for religious reasons, even if they had wanted to eat meat, they probably wouldn't have been able to afford it because it would have been bit more expensive, so it was still kind of considered a bit elitist and reserved for the wealthy. So people are in this middle class, they kind of want to have this kind of elitist quality as well. It's also considered more modern, whereas vegetarianism is considered kind of like old-fashioned and outdated. And it's also considered more healthy now. A meat-eating diet is suddenly considered more healthy than a vegetarian diet. And it's also more readily available, and that in large part is due to fast food chains, American fast food chains. So there are McDonald's, Burger King's, Kentucky Fried Chicken's, in all the major cities, and people eat there very often. And because it's more readily available, it's also more affordable. So we have all of these factors that have kind of led India to have an atmosphere where eating meat is more socially acceptable, and the more socially acceptable it is, the more people do it. All right. So I'm going through this a lot quicker than I thought, but that's good. All right, so I wanted to leave on kind of a positive note, so not so depressing here. So progress is being made. There are several animal rights groups and vegan health groups that are doing public awareness campaigns, lots of leafleting, protests, what have you, also some restaurant outreach campaigns. And one good success story that I wanted to share with you is that a few years ago, a Dutch dairy company had purchased a plot of land in India and had planned to build a factory farm that was going to house 100,000 cows. So it was going to be a huge factory farm. It would have been horrific for the animals and also just been completely devastational for all the local villages around it. So an animal rights group found out about this. They started a campaign, and they succeeded. So that factory farm was not able to build in India. So that's a good success story. And so on my final note is that veganism is on the rise in the country. There are a lot of grassroots activists that are continuing to work. And also there's kind of this rekindled interest in traditional vegetarianism. So progress is being made. You know, there are some encouraging notes. There's still a lot of problems. You know, meat consumption is still continuing to grow. But on the other end of the spectrum, veganism is beginning to rise as well. So that's what I have for you. All right. So thank you.
Thank you, Jessica.